You remember when I said last week, don't let your, not last week, but the week before, don't let your eyes deceive you? Does anybody remember me saying that?
Yes.
Because your eyes will deceive you.
Yes, sir.
Because what you see is not necessarily what is.
Praise the Lord.
Let me clarify this a little greater. Have you ever been driving and you get to a road and you decide you want to go out and take a left, you want to take a right, and there's traffic coming? And all of a sudden you look one way, it's clear. You look this way, and it's clear. And you look back here and you see it's clear, and you start to take off. And something inside of you says, look again.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Now, how many of you have done that before?
Amen.
See, here we are on the same page. And I have many times looked again, and there's a car coming like a bat out of hell. And if I was a bat in hell, I'd want to get out of there too. And here they come, and if I had not looked again,
amen,
I would have missed the mark. I would have been in a devastating situation. So everybody say, look again.
Look again.
So here's some key points, and you need to really let this sink in today. Don't let this day go by without allowing this to sink in. This is not just another meeting. This is a partnership where I actually see this as a discipleship program.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I can go to places where we got a lot of people. That's not my deal. I want disciples. Does anybody know what Jesus said? He said to his disciples, he didn't say go and make more Christians. He didn't go and say make more righteous people. He said go and make disciples. And a disciple is different than a Christian. We can be Christians and not a disciple. You say, how is that possible? Because a Christian can be a Christian because you believe in Jesus. Right or wrong? But a disciple is an imitator of Christ. What Jesus does, they do. How he thinks, they think. How he talks, they talk. How he walks, they walk. So, sometimes, this is key, sometimes what we are seeing isn't necessarily what God has in mind for our lives. Maybe it's a situation or a circumstance, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's what God has for our lives or what situation we find ourselves in. And you may not understand it, but God understands where you are. Say that back to me. God knows where I am. So you have to ask yourself this question. Understanding to look again. Is that all there is? I'm seeing it. Is that all there is? I've lived my life. Here we, I ministered the gospel now for 56 years. 56 years. 41 spent just across town. And I said, is that all there is? And God said, no, there's much more to be done.
Yes.
There's many more ears that need to hear my voice.
Yes.
That need to know my way.
Yes.
That needs to know that there is a better way, and they haven't looked again.
Yes.
They've been caught up in some sort of religiosity, but they've not looked again. Does that make sense to anybody in here?
Yes.
They've not looked again. They've got caught up in church mechanism, and they've not looked again. The voice of God is so imperative. So I said, is that all there is? Is there more in the picture? Is there more in this picture that I'm missing? Have you ever said that to yourself about a situation? Is there more in it? What am I missing? Have you ever seen that picture where, and I'm sure you have because I have at times, you ever seen that picture where you look at it and they say, some people are going to see a duck and some are going to see a rabbit? And if I had that picture right now, some of you, half of you might say it's a duck. The other half would say it is a rabbit. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Did the picture change?
No.
I'm going to ask that again. Y'all got to help me. We're partners. Did the picture change?
No.
No, it did not. The picture never changed. What changed it? Only their focus did. What you saw, it was your focus, what you were focused on. Sometimes we miss what God is doing because we're fixed on the wrong part of the picture.
Amen.
We're looking at something because we see that first and don't realize there's more to the picture. Now that's for somebody sitting here today.
Amen. Thank you.
You've been looking at the same old so long, Ms. McGravy. They don't realize there's more to the picture. You know, I saw this one picture where it showed, said, look at it. Some will see an old lady, an old, like a witch-looking lady, and next you'll see a beautiful young lady. And I looked at it and I thought, yeah. And I finally saw both pictures. You see, it's how you look at it. Some will look and see an old witch-looking like lady, and the next will see a beautiful young lady. So our question today, what are we looking at? Sometimes we miss what God is doing because we're fixed on the wrong part of the picture. Has anybody been done that? Looking at the wrong thing too long? Here's a key point. Mark this down. Seeing with spiritual clarity changes everything.
Yes. Amen.
Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
Yes.
Are you wanting to learn?
Yes.
See, I want to learn.
Yes.
And I know God's with me.
Thank you, Father.
I know he's with me. You know why? I talked to him yesterday. The day before and the day before and today. I know he's with me. And your miracle prayer is going to be answered today.
Thank you.
How can you say that, Bishop? Because I know in whom I believe.
Amen.
And I'm persuaded that he's more than able. It's good to see Brother Perez here today.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
So you were out there in the lobby playing around. See, I know. Seeing with this spiritual clarity, it focuses in. It changes everything, Randy.
Yes.
So when you see through the lens of the Holy Spirit, your viewpoint changes.
Amen.
What you see is different because you're seeing it with a different lens. Your perspective shifts. What does that mean? Your perspective shifts. Your attitude changes. Because of what you're viewing and how you're seeing. See, what once looked like, and I speak to you today because I know I've been there. In the last few weeks, I have really been there. Have you ever been where you say, God, what are we going to do now? I've been there. I called Sister Helen yesterday. Does anybody know Sister Helen?
Yes.
She told me she will be 100 years old. Next year.
Amen.
And she, I called her up and I was actually studying yesterday, which I've been doing every day. It seems like since we've made this move, I've spent more time in study and then more time in listening to God than trying to worry about people.
Amen. Amen.
Because worrying about people doesn't change a thing, but worrying about God does.
Amen.
But I called her up, and I said, Sister Helen, I was just studying, and your name came before me, and God urged me to call you.
Hallelujah.
And by the way, she sounded as young as she ever sounded.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
And she said, well, I'm amazed that you called me. She said, because last night I dreamed about you. And she reminded me that God said, y'all don't mind me telling you this, do you? Because we're partners, aren't we?
Amen.
She said, God showed me years ago, as I laid on my face in church, she said that God said that you, Bishop, were his signet ring.
Yes.
That he was going to use you for signs and wonders.
Yes.
And then she said, you've probably heard that before. Then she said, I dreamed last night and God said that he said to tell me that I was not a pastor, that I was a prophet.
Amen.
He said that you are more than that. You have to understand your calling of being an evangelist and a voice for what God once said to his people.
Yes.
Now you understand, I've not talked to Helen in probably, I don't know, 6 months or so. And she said, God says your health is linked to your obedience.
Amen. Yes.
Because God has something for you to do and you cannot rebel.
Amen.
That's what she said to him. So I've gone through that, really lifted me up, because I never questioned God, but I don't know which door to go through. I mean, I'm speaking at several events and I'm doing certain things, and I know doors are opening right now for me. But it's not for me the doors are opening. The doors are opening for God.
Yes.
Amen. It's opening for what our partnership presses through.
Yes, yes.
I need you, you need me, we need each other. Why? Because we are the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Disciples called according to his purpose. So in talking to her, I realized that I talked to her for an hour. So we said a whole lot. Sometimes things look overwhelming. Can anybody admit the truth to me today that you've gone through some things that look overwhelming?
Amen.
Yes. Raise your hand away.
Yes.
I mean, it looks overwhelming. I'm being very transparent with you today because you are my partner.
Amen.
This is a discipleship program.
Yes.
This is not a regular church service. It will never be a regular church service from this day forward. It's what God spoke to me this week. You're different.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
You're different.
Hallelujah.
What once looked overwhelming starts to look overcomable. What once looked overwhelming is now overcomable. What once looked or felt like defeat, and I've been there, what once looked like defeat begins to look like a setup for victory.
Yeah.
How many of y'all want to be set up for victory?
Yeah.
You say, why is that, Bishop? I don't quite understand. Well, let me just explain it to you. It's amazing how things come online when they ask you if you want to join something, and I'm preaching. Why? Why is it? Because spiritual sight, everybody say spiritual sight. Spiritual sight does not deny reality.
Amen.
If it's red, it's red. If it's blue, it's blue. If I'm hurting, I'm not going to say, praise God, I'm not in pain. I know I'm not in pain. But you are in pain. Do I need to expand that in? So we start talking about things as though they're not there, but they are there. So spiritual sight doesn't deny the reality. It just sees a greater one.
Yes.
You get that, Jason? It just sees a greater one. You see, some people would see the Red Sea. We're at the Red Sea. We don't know which way to go. The Egyptians are at our back. They're going to destroy us. What they couldn't see was the parting. The parting of the Red Sea. What they couldn't see on the day Jesus was teaching 5,000, had five loaves and two little fishes. All they could see was the five loaves and the two fishes. That was their reality, as recorded in four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's all recorded there. You see, clearly there was not enough food for 5,000 people, was there? That's the reality. People felt that way. But Jesus, everybody say, but Jesus.
But
Jesus saw what others could not see.
Amen.
What do you mean? Well, let's just make it a little fun. Jesus saw a picnic and the disciples saw panic.
Amen.
Jesus saw a picnic, and that came from the Spirit. He spoke that to me. But Jesus saw a picnic, the disciples said, we're panicked. What are we going to do? What do you mean, Bishop? He broke bread, broke the fishes. He broke what they could not see into what he could see. He broke into what they could not see into what he has seen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He broke into that. He started breaking into what he sees, not what they saw. If he had listened to his disciples, that's why you can't listen to people.
Amen.
The They're going to tell you, you can't make it. My God, you can't make it. You can't do it. You don't have what it takes. You've only got 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. You're not going to cut it. But they don't see the hand of Jesus.
Amen.
And he has the ability to break it and disperse it. He doesn't break anything that he didn't disperse. And that's what somebody here today. He's breaking you so he can disperse you.
Amen.
That's a word for somebody. He's breaking you so you can be dispersed. In other words, you can do more. You can get more done, more accomplished. He broke what they could see into what he could see. That's powerful.
Yes, sir.
When you think about it. You see, I want to see what God sees. Because there's a panic. There's a panic in partial sight. If you're going into a room that's dark at night, after you hit your toes 2 or 3 times, you start realizing something ain't right here. And you really call on the name of Jesus. Jesus! Because you were just hitting everything in the room.
Yes.
Hitting your head, bumping your feet. You've been there. We've all been there.
Amen.
But there's panic in partial sight. I want to take you to just a moment, just a portion of the verse first. 2 Kings 6:15. Elisha is faced with a great army. It's surrounding them. It's about to destroy them. The great prophet Elisha. In 2 Kings 6:15, when the servant saw the enemy, Elisha's servant, watch this. The Elisha servant, he was trembling. He was afraid, the Bible says. He says, "Oh my Lord." That sound like some of us. "Oh my Lord, what shall we do now?" Panic. That's not the Bible, panic, but he was panicking. Panic. Well, what do I see in that? The servant, Elisha's servant, could only see what was against him and not who was for him.
Amen.
Now, when you get focused on what's just against you, you'll lose every time.
That's right. Yes.
My hip hurts, my leg. Well, I understand that, but I know who can help me in that condition.
Amen.
Yes.
I know who can see me through. I know when you sit in a court setting and you think, man, this is going to be tough, and God shows up, it's a total different picture. You say, well, does God really show up like that? You better believe me. You better want God to show up like that.
Yes, yes.
How many people need God to show up for you right now?
Amen.
I do. I'm telling you, I told Sister Helen yesterday, I said, my life right now is a piece of paper that's blank. I know some of you feel that same way, Carol. My life is a piece of paper that's totally blank. And I'm waiting for God to write on it.
Yes.
To give me instruction.
Yes.
Because unless we get that instruction, we will not survive what's coming on the planet Earth.
Amen.
That's right.
And y'all know the world's not in a good shape. It's really not. You can say it is. It's not. What do we need? We need people that look again.
Amen.
Look again.
Amen.
Look again. So when the servant saw the enemy, he was afraid. He said, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" Because he can only see what's coming against him and not who is working for him.
Yes.
You see, the pilot can be, we used to have some pilots come to church, but a pilot can be in dense fog. And at that point, he's got to make a decision. I can't see, so I have to rely on my instruments. He cannot rely on sight alone because it will cause spatial disorientation. Because he can't see. And then he crashes, right or wrong. Because he can't see it. He won't rely on the instruments. Fear does the same thing to our souls. Spatial disorientation. I call it spiritual disorientation. So when I get fearful, my soul crashes. Here is a key thought. Fear flourishes wherever vision is limited to the visible. Can I say that again? Fear flourishes where vision is limited to the visible. In other words, that's all I see, so that's all it can be. And I heard people say, God has failed me.
No.
Hear me. Just because you're going through a little tough stretch does not mean God's failing you. He's just trying to stretch you.
Amen.
Because you cannot develop strong faith unless you go through something.
That's right.
Has anybody gone through something and you came out a little better?
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
If you haven't, I sure have.
Great people.
So I don't want to be limited in my experience with God because of what I think I see. What I think. That's why our series is called Wide Awake and All In. Because God doesn't just want you half awake. Everybody awake today?
Amen.
God doesn't want you just half awake to a situation or half aware of His presence. He wants you to know today, even though it's cool in this room, thank God for air conditioning.
Amen.
Even though it's cool in this room, He's in this room with me right now.
Yes.
He's in this room with you right now.
Yes.
He's here to answer prayers and to give us instruction.
Yes. Yes.
He's here to try to illuminate our thoughts.
Yes.
He's trying to clarify our minds and let us see things clearly. See it as He sees it so we can do it as He does it.
Yes.
Because we can't do it as He does unless we see as He does, as He sees. That make sense?
Yeah.
If not, I'll stop and do it again. I don't want to be half aware of His presence. I know when God shows up. Brother Randy said when I met that bishop down the hall, he said he felt God.
Yes.
There's a reason for that. God was there.
Amen.
But what the word Lord wants, He wants your spiritual eyes wide open.
Wow.
It's not just this. It's I can feel. I can sense. I know. He wants your spiritual eyes wide open. He wants your trust all in. Not half in.
Amen.
I wouldn't say that a different way. Randy, you can say it for me. He doesn't want you half in. He wants you all in.
Amen.
Did I hear somebody say I'm all in? Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
What you may see, if you're not all in, what you may see is destruction. I wrote this this morning. I may be looking and see destruction, but what God sees is a completion to your destiny.
Yes.
Amen.
He said that to you. You understand what He's saying there? We point at it and say, destruction, destruction. And God said, wake up, get all in and realize it's a completion to your destiny.
Amen.
Because you can't get to your destiny until you go through this. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
If I don't, I'm failing you today.
No, good.
So I see all these things happening, and I know I have to be wide awake.
Yes.
Being wide awake means you don't just see the enemy, you see the hand of God.
Yes.
Don't just look on the enemy, see the hand of God. Being all in means you don't just assess the odds. Now, this is good. You don't just look and assess the odds. Well, odds are you're not going to make it. Odds are you can't do it. You ever heard that one?
Yes, sir.
Odds are against you, Randy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Odds are against you, Jeff. Bonnie, odds are against you. Now you know it. I'm tired of that.
Yes.
We start assessing the odds. But you must trust the outcome to the one who sees what you can't. So look again.
Okay.
So look again. I need to go through that again because I don't want to get stuck. I'm not going to assess the odds. I'm going to trust the outcome to the one who sees what you can't.
Amen.
So I look again. I'm going to start looking again in business dealings. And meeting people, and when my body goes through certain things, I'm just going to look again.
Amen.
I'm not going to go to the negative all the time.
Amen.
The negative doesn't help me.
No.
I'm going to look again because God is saying something to me. He's saying something to us,
yeah.
Something to me. You see, I may see a financial flaw or a failure in my life, and God's saying, dummy, I've got something better for you. Quit focusing on that.
Thank you.
Well, my boss fired me. Well, you're looking at the firing and not the hiring.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're not looking at what God wants you to look at, so you have to look again.
Amen.
You just have to look again. Is this speaking to anybody in here today?
Amen.
It's speaking to me loud and clear today. God doesn't work. Here's what I love. God doesn't work with our odds.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
God, you know these odds are against you. Well, God doesn't really care because God doesn't work with our odds.
That's right.
It's in Vegas.
Amen.
Thank God.
That's right.
Amen.
God doesn't work with our odds, but in the outcomes, no one sees coming. No one sees it because they don't look again. This is something else to put to today. This is for you. It's not the odds. It's not the odds, but it is the impossibilities that defy logic. The impossibilities that defy logic. He goes beyond what you think. It's not the odds, but it's the overflow of his purpose. It's not the logic or the odds, but in the miracle that makes no sense to man.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But God doesn't have to make sense. It's not the odds, but in the divine appointments that break every rule. Breaks every rule. It's not the odds. But in the moments when faith is all you have. Are you with me? Not the odds. It's in the God that has the ability to change things. So here's what I'd say. Don't let what you see convince you to forget what God has said. And I've seen that happen too many times. Well, I see that vision, but I just can't believe in God anymore. He's let me down. No, you let yourself down.
Amen.
God didn't let you down. God has never failed me. Even though I've gone through some terrible stuff, it was most of it was my fault.
Yeah.
If not all of it was my fault. Don't let what you see convince you to forget what God has said. Don't let partial sight rob you of full faith.
Amen.
We need full faith. Brother Perez, we need full faith.
God bless you. Thank
not half faith.
Amen.
So I ask you this question. So what time is it? Oh, we're in good shape.
Amen.
What you need to ask yourself is, what am I afraid of right now? What concerns me right now? And then ask, who is in control? What are you afraid of? What's bothering you the most? And then you have to say, who's in control? Because really and truly, you're out of control. If you're God's child, he has a plan.
Amen.
So what do I need? You need a prayer that recalibrates your vision.
Calibrate.
I won't get into that right now to try to define that recalibration. But that's important, especially if you're doing or working on certain instruments. It has to be recalibrated. I'll take you back to a text, 2 Kings 6:17. And Elisha prayed. Here, the young man is afraid. The servant is afraid. What are we going to do? Elisha prays. 2 Kings 6:17. Oh, Lord, open his eyes so he may see.
Yes.
Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Oh, Lord, I say today. Oh, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Now let's change it. Oh, Lord, open our eyes so that we may see.
Yes, amen.
Because we need clear sight. Yes. Elisha didn't ask God to change the... Oh, this is good. Elisha didn't ask God to change the circumstance. God, take all these armies away. I don't need to see all this stuff. It's just overwhelming. God didn't change the circumstance. He asked you to change the servant's perspective.
Yes.
That's all he did. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when he opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw the chariots of God. He said, I don't believe in that stuff. Yes. Well, the chariots of God are there. The angels of God are right here right now. You just don't see them.
Amen.
Your angel that you were born into this earth with is with you right now. And my angels are here on either side of me. And I know that. And when you speak to it, they're rejoicing in the fact that you believe they're with you.
Amen.
Because they are here. Have you ever seen those? We're talking about changing our perspective. Have you ever seen anybody on some of these videos where somebody's colorblind? They can't see color. It's all muted to them. There's no color. It's all grayscale to them. But then somebody puts corrective lens on them. Nothing changes in the room. Come on.
Right.
Nothing changes in the room. Not a thing. But they erupt in tears and laughter and joy. Why? Because they can see colors that were there always.
Yes.
The colors were always there. The only thing that changed was they were seeing through different lens. There's colors around you cannot see. There's joy around you cannot see. There's overwhelming happiness and peace and love and joy and healing. But you see it in the spirit. You see it in faith.
Yes.
Now, do I sometimes get, you said, Bishop, you're perfect. I know you're. No, sometimes I get to saying, oh my Lord, what are we going to do now? And he has to remind me, sit down, be quiet. Talk to me, meditate upon me, follow my word, and know that what you see is not what I see.
Amen.
Does anybody feel that in your side?
Yes.
Even though it's a little cold in here today, but it keeps you awake, don't it? I told him, I turned it down real cold so none of them will go to sleep on me today.
Carol is shaking over here.
I'm sorry. I'll get y'all some fur coats. Jason, could you help me financially? We'll get all fur coats.
Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if they can even control that. But I just love the fact that they can see what they couldn't see before. Have you ever looked through a telescope? You look out there and see, what is that out there on the hill? You can't even see the hill. But you look through a telescope and now you see it clearly.
Amen.
Because it is there. It didn't change. It's still there. Breakthrough, which we all want, breakthrough begins not when God removes the enemy. It's not when God removes the enemy, but when he removes the blinders.
Yeah.
Now you can see, Keyshawn. You're looking at it. He said it's always been there. Remember the song? Y'all may not know it. Actually, he was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there anyway. You just couldn't see. We have to see into the unseen. Wide awake, all in. What is the unseen, Floyd? The unseen resources of heaven. Because they're there.
Yes.
I see it in 2 Kings 6:17. Let me reiterate. He saw the hills full of horses. These are heavenly horses. There's horses in heaven. Shall I believe it? Well, sorry, they're there. He saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God's provision outnumbers the problem.
Yes, sir.
Let me say it again. That's for you. God's provision outnumbers the problem. Every earthly struggle has a heavenly supply. Doesn't matter what it is. There's a supply line that can reach you. It's not just in what can be seen. We get caught up in that. That's why the Titanic sank.
Amen.
Number one, there were people that said, this boat cannot be sunk. God cannot sink it. That was their mistake.
Amen.
Say, God cannot sink this ship. Well, here comes along an iceberg. Now, an iceberg, you can only see at the most 10% of the iceberg sticking out of the water. What you don't see is the 90% underneath. Likewise, when we move in the Spirit, What we see in the natural is just the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip of what God can do. But in reality, there's a large mass, a powerful force that you cannot see. Faith sees beyond the surface. Faith sees beyond the surface. And that sight sets courage loose. Your courage built because of that which you cannot see. It's there. And now I'm strong, and now I'm firm, and now I can do what God said we could do. Here's a question for you. What would change in your life? Everybody shake a little bit so you get warm.
Amen.
What could change in your life if you truly believed God was with you? What would change in your life if you really believed God was with you? And I'm going to ask the second question. And what is too big for God? Nothing. Everybody say nada.
Nada.
You're all speaking Spanish. That's great. So, well, Bishop, help me see. We need this week to look again. We need to start looking again.
Yes.
Not saying, God, you failed me. Saying, God, I'm going to look again. I'm going to take another look. I'm going to identify one fear or one circumstance that's bothering me. I'm going to identify it. I'm going to pray each day a simple little prayer, Elisha's prayer. Lord, open my eyes to see your work in this. Open my eyes so I can see it. So will God answer you? Yeah, if you'll talk to him. Then take your piece of paper and write down some of these things.
Amen.
Write down some of the thoughts you have. See, I'm giving you some homework. Write down some of those thoughts you have. And maybe a scripture, maybe a thought, maybe a revision, maybe something God's revealed to you, and meditate on it. You see, breakthrough happens when vision shifts.
Yes.
When vision shifts from the seen to the unseen. Fear loses its grip, and faith takes the wheel.
Amen.
When you see what cannot be seen, cannot be seen, but you know that you know it's there. I can give you a plethora of illustrations right now on that. I don't think I need to. There's many things in our life we didn't know, we don't see that it's there, but it's there. Mm-hmm. You can't see how your GPS works in your car, but it's there.
Yep.
I've got one that lives with me. I see Randy does too. You may not see, if I take my telephone out and call, you can't see how it works. But it's working.
Yeah.
I'll stop right there. Too many illustrations. We've got a lot to do. But fear will lose its grip when I say, you know what? It's really real. It's really there. I want you to hear this in the unseen today. Because that's where we're trying to move. Fear is outnumbered when we declare certain things. I want you to declare this with me. For every army of anxiety, there is a host of heaven.
There is a host of heaven.
I will look again.
I will look again.
Yes.
Yes.
I felt that. Let's say that again. For every army of anxiety, there is a host of heaven. I'm going to look again.
I'm going
to
look again.
Buddy, that's powerful.
Amen.
To me, that's powerful. I'm not going to run like a little schoolgirl. I'm going to stand up and say, you know what? I know in whom I am. He's more than able. No, I believe in him. And I'm just going to trust him.
Amen.
We all declare that this week?
Yes.
For every army of anxiety, when it comes on, you say, man, that army is coming. It's coming, but there's a host of heaven that's going to face it.
Amen.
I'm going to look again. When God opens your eyes, When God opens your eyes, not me opened your eyes, when God opens your eyes, fear can't hold you. Because you finally see that he already has you.
Amen.
When your eyes actually open to see things clearly, you'll see that God already has you. Selah. Give the Lord a prayer. This message is just a message.